I have to say, in all honesty, that the Sunday of the Last Judgment is probably my least favorite Sunday to preach a sermon on, mostly because I always feel this necessity of justifying the ways of God to man, as Milton put it, just because in our society, so many people only look at the very end of this parable, of this revelation that Jesus gives us, and immediately judge God based on the fact that, hey, wait, eternal punishment? How could a compassionate God allow this sort of thing or arrange this sort of thing? And I have to admit, confess in all honesty, I actually have, while I'm supposed to be patient and loving and communicate and explain, I actually have fairly little patience with this line of argument. It's kind of akin to saying to somebody who gives you a warning as you're sort of rushing down the path. It's like, you should really stop going this way, because you see at the end of the path, this particular path that you're going down, there is a very large cliff. And at the bottom of that cliff, there are very sharp rocks, and it's about 60 feet down. So if you keep going this way, your life as you know it will come to an end. And then for the person who receives that warning to turn around and say, boy, you're a horrible person. You're really putting a damper on my, running down this path. The other reason I kind of get annoyed with it is it misses really the whole point of this revelation, of this teaching. The basic issue here is that there is sin in this world. There is evil in this world. And we are all in agreement that this must come to an end. It's got to stop, because it's destroying us. It's destroying the world. So while we're all in agreement that something, someone's got to do something, and probably it better be the one who created the world who does something about this, as soon as he actually tells us, well, this is what I'm going to do about it, we're like, you can't do that. Well, wait, didn't you want this to come to an end? Don't you want sin and evil to be destroyed? The natural corollary to that, the natural thing that goes with that, is if sin and evil are going to be destroyed, and you are going to keep hanging on to your sin, now you are going to keep clinging to the evil that is that is destroying you, you will be destroyed along with it. Don't go there. And this is the point. It's a warning. Don't go there. Don't do that. Turn. Don't keep going down this path. It leads to destruction. There's a much more positive way to look at this. If you think about the Last Judgment as kind of a final exam, and what you have here is the instructor telling us exactly what's going to be on the final. Here's what you need to do to pass. Here's what you need to study. In fact, turns out it's not even a final exam at all. What's simply going to happen at the end is that everything that we have done in this life will be reviewed and evaluated. But it will be reviewed and evaluated in a very specific way. Jesus separates at the end. First of all, it's Jesus who's separating the sheep from the goats. It is one of us who is judging us. It is not somebody who doesn't know what it's like to be a human being. It's somebody who was himself a human being, who is going to be our judge. And he separates the sheep from the goats, and he'll say to the ones on his right, come, blessed of my Lord, into the kingdom prepared for you, for I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, I was in prison, and you visited me. And he says that at that point, the people on his right were probably kind of wondering why they're there. It's like, oh, this is great, but why am I here? It's like when, as opposed to on the other side, when did we do this? I don't remember, you know, bringing you in when you were a stranger or giving you something to eat. I never don't remember seeing you hungry at all. He says, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. And then, of course, to those on his left, he says the opposite. I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. Thirsty, didn't give me anything to drink. Stranger, you didn't take me in. And so on. And if they'll say, well, why are we here? Well, we should be on the other side. I don't remember seeing you naked and, you know, or hungry or thirsty, as much as you did not do this to the least of these, my brethren, you did not do it to me. And so, the basis on which we are going to be judged is really, really simple, really clear cut. And what we need to do is also really simple. It's not simple, easy to do, but it's really clear cut. Treat everybody like they were Jesus. And of course, make sure you love Jesus. If you do that, every single person who comes across your path, who is in need in any way, shape, or form, whether that be physical, spiritual, emotional, who is expressing that need in any way, shape, or form. And usually when people express need, they don't do it in the way we think of it. It's like, oh, could you please help me? No, they're usually acting out because they're needy and they're angry and they're frustrated and they're whatever, cold, or it's like, and snap at you. And then it's our job to treat them as we would treat Jesus. To treat them with love, to meet their need in whatever way we are able to meet it at that point in time. And we just have to keep doing this for the rest of our lives. The fathers tell us that we should keep the last judgment before our eyes. We should remind ourselves of this. Not because of any sort of morbid fascination with it, although, you know, there have been people who have been morbidly fascinated with it, usually to their detriment. But because it's just basic common sense. If you've got a warning, listen to it, heed it, keep it in mind. If there is going to be if you have the criteria as to how you should live laid out for you, you should be keeping them in mind at all times. Part of the reason I have so little patience with those who would twist or change this revelation in any way to sort of make it more palatable, make it less scary, is no, the point is it's a warning. You give someone a warning and then you take it away and suddenly it's not anywhere near as effective. You know, it's like, okay, something really bad is going to happen, but don't worry, it's not really going to be that bad. What do? We don't listen to the first part, we only listen to the second part. Oh, it's not going to be that bad, I don't have to worry. No, you do have to worry. This is eternal life or eternal death that we're talking about. That is on the line every single moment as you live and interact with the people around you. Keep it in mind. But keep it in mind in love. And as we live these lives of love, as we treat the people around us as though they were Jesus, because they are, so we will be saved. Last thing on the subject of judgment, since Lent is coming. As I was preparing for this, I ran across, because I was had in the back of my mind this story, and I ran across the fact that I didn't even know that we actually celebrate this individual, not by name, every March 30th. Every March 30th, we commemorate the uncondemning monk. And the story goes that there was this monk who was really a pretty pathetic monk. He was really bad at being a monk. He didn't know the services, he was lazy, he slept in at the hours of midnight office. All the other monks would be looking around saying, "Where's brother so-and-so? Oh, he's not here again." And he was on his deathbed. And he was actually really quite cheerful, smiling even. And the other monks gathered around were like, "What? Why are you happy? Well, why are you smiling? You should be kind of worried here, you know? You're facing your last judgment." And he's like, "Yeah, I know. And I actually had a vision of the angels. And they had this really long list of all my sins that they were about to present to God. And I said to them, 'Well, you know, Jesus says, don't judge, and you won't be judged. And I've never judged anyone in my entire life.' And on hearing that, the angels ripped up the entire list and threw it away." And the prologue of Oxford says, "And the monks heard and learned and were edified." So one corollary of this way of life, this way of love that we are called to live, is really quite simple. We do need to be focused on what is broken inside of us. And the greatest distractor from that focus, from that work of repentance, is being focused on what is broken in other people. And Lent does present us with some great opportunities to be focused on what is broken in other people. We'll even notice it a little more because we're tired and hungry and needy and expressing that need in unsanctified ways, probably. And so we need, at this point in time, to make sure that we are not focused on others' brokenness in any way, shape, or form other than to forgive it, other than to look into it and look in it, to see in it what is it that this brother or sister actually needs. How can I serve them? How can I love them? And judgment simply distracts from that. So, here on the Last Judgment, I want to remind you of the words of our Lord. "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the same measure by which you measure, it will be measured unto you." So be like the monk, and you'll be okay. To the glory of God the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.